Quicken is here to keep you running with a much-needed taste of normal. To work, home, or work from home. With the coffee you like, just the way you like it. Whether that's a small hot black coffee, your daily 2 p.m. latte, or a bacon, egg, and cheese croissant and a medium iced coffee with oat milk, one sugar, two pumps of caramel, one pump hazelnut, a swirl of French vanilla, and a shot of espresso.
I call it my PM pep rally. You should really try it.
Whatever it is that gets you running, Dunkin's got you and always will. America runs on Dunkin'.
To 2-2, and we've still got more than half an hour to go. And here's Ozil, Lacazette, Ozil!
Yo!
This is
a melody. Baby, welcome to the party. I'm off the Meyer Zandolin. That's why I'm over retarded.
That's why I'm over retarded.
Baby, welcome to the party. I hit the boy up and then I go skate in a Rari. Baby, welcome to the party. Pitch him a thot. Give me lit.
Gun on my
head. One in the head.
Send
in
a clip.
Baby.
Baby.
Baby, don't trip.
Baby, don't trip.
Just lower your tone.
Hello, welcome to another Touchy Goodness podcast. My name is Lewis and I'm joined by two of my usuals. I've got the two Dans, German and Nigerian. I hope you guys are made up this week. How are you doing, chaps?
All good, man. We bonding this week over our disdain for Arteta's tactics, isn't it?
something we can all get behind, I think. And we've got Leo coming back on the pod. Leo, how you doing, man? After, I would say, a brief hiatus, but I can't remember last time you were on a pod.
I've been so busy. I don't even know what's going on. I don't.
Man's been so busy. He's been just posting selfies on Instagram, doing rapping videos on Instagram. You know,
it's been a long time since I posted a rapping video. You know, I might have to get my pen out. You know, might have to get my pen out.
How you doing anyway?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Good. It's nice to have you on. And we've got Karis on as well. Many of you might know him as AFC underscore Karis on Twitter. I think that is. Yeah. Have I got that right, Karis?
Yeah, that's good.
Welcome to the pod, man. It's great to have you on. I'm hoping that you're going to, well, along with Leo, I'm hoping you're going to provide us with a little bit more of a positive balance. I need something.
I'll try my best, innit? That's it. I'll try.
I need something. I'm someone who can go either way. Do you know what I mean? Like, I need someone to convince me. Yeah? So try your best. But yeah, there's a lot to talk about. Before we do get into nitty-gritty of things, just to let you guys know that there'll be more Patreon content released this week. So if you haven't signed up to the Patreon yet, you can do so. The link will be in the bio. Loads of content on there already. So if you want a Patreon, then sign up. If you are, then big up you lot, because you'll get your answer. You'll get your questions answered at the end of the pod. Follow us on Twitter. We've got our Instagram now as well. This pod won't be on YouTube because Leo has been a bit of a fraud and don't want to go on cam, but Never mind. It won't be on YouTube. And join our Discord server as well, which is the Touchdown Frackers Discord server. And you can subscribe to Touchdown Frackers on YouTube anyway and find out the rest of the videos, even if this one isn't going to be on it. Anyway, guys, let's get into the Leicester game, which, I mean, it's been fucking... I'll tell you where I'm coming from in this year. It's I can't remember. I think this is probably Arteta's first live meltdown from the fans, I guess. I don't think he's had one yet, not full-scale meltdown at least anyway. And for Arsenal standards, that's quite an achievement in itself, the fact that he's gone 10 months without having a full-scale meltdown, except for the transfer window, which wasn't really his fault. But it's quite a success that, you know, he's got this far. And now all the wheels seem to be falling off a little bit. And I'm going to need Karis and Leo to swing me the other side. But let's talk about the actual lineup itself for the Leicester game, because I think we got some of the things we wanted and then some of the things we didn't quite want. So obviously we all wanted Partey to start, but maybe that midfield three of Ceballos and Xhaka along with Partey was a bit... I mean, there were some raised eyebrows. We didn't have Aubameyang in his favor in the position we all want him to play. Karis, since you're making your debut today, I'll give you the floor on this. What was your initial thoughts when you first saw the lineup?
Well, obviously, you know, we were all excited to see Partey start because, you know, he didn't start against City, which is understandable, but he had a few training sessions and he came into the game, so it was good to see him. Yeah, as you said, it was a bit confusing to see Aubameyang on the right just because, you know, it's not somewhere that he's really played since pre-season. The last one I remember was against Barca in pre-season. He played on the right.
And he did all right in that game, actually, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, to be fair, he didn't do that bad. But it's like, you know, he's not played there in ages. And we know that when he's cutting off the left, he can be a bit effective. Well, maybe not in the last few games, but in general, because his Arsenal career, he's been effective coming off the left. So it was a bit strange to see that happen. And then who else was in the lineup in the front three? I'm trying to remember. So was it Aubameyang?
Saka.
Yeah, Saka on the left, which, you know, he's fine there, but we could have easily put him on the right, like the last Leicester fixture where, you know, he did whatever he did to Johnny Evans and then we scored. So that could have happened. Then Lacazette starting, which everyone knows my hate for Lacazette. Or I wouldn't say hate because it's a strong word, but you can't hold the ball.
I think we all hate Lacazette here. Leo was holding on to Laka for a while. Like, you're saying,
I gave him six months.
Wait, you gave him six months. Listen, you were saying,
Laka's not that slow. He's not that slow.
And then you finally...
He's not that slow. He really isn't. But he's a bit of a turkey. I'll give you that. He's not that slow, though.
You see me.
He's the most unathletic striker we've ever had.
Yep, I agree. He is.
How's that not slow? That is slow.
No, it's relative to other players in the league. He's actually not that slow. Like, statistically
relative
speaking,
relative to
isn't.
Who?
Other players in the league. So relative to other players in the league, he actually isn't that slow. Top speed wise, maybe over like 5 yards. I don't know the timing over 5 yards. I can't tell you that. But generally, top speed wise, he's not that slow.
Do you ever see him get to his top speed?
That's the problem. How often does he get there? I don't know. But if he's sprinting and he's top speed and the other players are top speed,
I've not seen like a sprint speed.
That's low.
I
see it all the time. You're not exaggerating. He sprinted last game. Stop it, man.
I ain't seen it since 2017, bruv.
Open your eyes, bruv. Watch properly. I'm not saying it's good. He's a turkey. You need to sell him, but he's not that slow.
Okay. Anyway, Leo, what was your thoughts on the lineup itself? Did you agree with Karis's sentiments that it was, you know, a bit surprising in some aspects?
It was to some degree. I understand it. It was quite surprising. Aubameyang on the right. Aubameyang for the last four or five games has been trash. I love Aubameyang, but there's no other way to put it except for the fact that he's been poor. So the manager tried something different. So, like, cool, you've been poor on the left. Let's see you on the right. Let's see what happens. And give that a go because the left obviously isn't working out for you. Hopefully, next game he shifts him to the centre because the right didn't work out for him. We'll see.
He'll play a fucking left back before he plays centre forward, mate.
We'll see. I'm happy to see Partey, although we didn't play through him at all. But, you know, it is what it is. He was on the pitch. It was nice to see him. What he did get to do was good. Xhaka's role was a bit mad. Yeah, he was really, really deep. It was really strange to see. Besides that, Saka on the left is cool. I'm cool to play Saka on left wing. I prefer him to be third midfielder, but I'm not the manager. So yeah, it was cool. It was confusing, but to some degree, I could understand some of the thought process behind it.
I think for the first half, we kind of bit our lip a bit because the performance first half was better than what we've seen. I'm not gonna get too excited about it, you know, because Leipzig, come on, man. Yeah, because I don't think it was, you know, it's only good in relation to what you've seen before. We weren't outstanding, you know. We created a few chances and I know we're starved of chances at the moment, like in this team, so we kind of overdo it a little bit when we create two good chances. But, you know, compared to what we've seen, I bit my lip a little bit. I didn't like the balance of that midfield at all. I said it early doors. I don't understand why Ceballos is playing right wing back. You know me, I'm a Ceballos fanboy. I love Danny, yeah? But, I mean, if you want him to be doing what he was doing in that game, play Maitland-Niles, play Willock, even play fucking Elneny over him, because what you were asking him to do makes no fucking sense. Makes no sense whatsoever. Yeah, strange. Basically just covering Bellerin just in case, just as a transitional threat. And you don't need Ceballos to do that. So for me, I would have much preferred to see Ceballos in the team over Xhaka. Or, you know what, I would have even taken Ceballos not playing in that game, because I don't think he was needed particularly. But you know what? I bit my lip, because you know what? First half, we were doing all right. You know, Luiz was pivotal to what we were doing. And, you know, we made a few chances. So let's get into the chances themselves. Was the first big one we had was the Laka one? Was that the Laka
no.
one?
No. It was, I think there was a floated ball over the top, and then Bellerin kind of tried to take it down, but it went off his chest.
Yeah. I think I was a little bit harsh with that one, because initially I thought it was a bad touch from him, but I think it was quite a difficult ball to receive. But, you know, he was getting into decent positions, wasn't he? So let me go to you, Nigerian Dan. What did you think of the first half performance, and what were we doing right? And, you know, was you impressed overall by it?
To be honest, I thought it was refreshing, I would say, in terms of the football that we've seen, because obviously we still weren't really playing through the middle, but I personally don't mind that, as long as you're still able to fashion chances and be balanced in the attack. And I think the first half is probably the first time this season where we've actually been able to sort of do things on both sides of the pitch. And you saw Luiz doing those sprays to the right and to the left to Bellerin and Tierney. I did think it was questionable what Arteta was doing in terms of having our fullbacks pushed that high up the pitch. Really, like, for me, I've always wondered why we've never tried to get Pepe making the sort of runs that Bellerin was making in behind. So when Pepe and Bellerin are played together, it's normally Bellerin comes inside and Pepe goes outside, or vice versa. But it's always Bellerin the one that receives the ball in behind on that right side, whereas on the left, you sometimes get Aubameyang going in behind. You sometimes get Maitland-Niles going in behind. You sometimes get Saka going in behind. But I thought it was quite good that we did have some variation to the attack. I know people have mentioned Luiz was being the main orchestrator, but for me, I don't personally see a problem with that, because if you have someone with the passing range of David Luiz, you might as well utilise it. Like, Liverpool, it's one of their weapons that they use Van Dijk. To spray the ball to the fullbacks, to Mane and Salah. So I did like that. But what I would say is that it was very one-dimensional, the way we tried to build play. Like, I didn't think that we did too many different things. It was really and truly that ball over the top was our only way of creating chances. So whilst I say it's refreshing, I do think there is a lot that we need to build on in terms of breaking down teams with deep blocks.
Yeah, I think the Luiz thing was quite interesting, because, I mean, on his day, listen, I'm no Luiz fan. I think he's a fucking liability at the best of times. But you can't deny the fact that he is an extraordinary passer from centre-back. Like, some of the passes he was pulling out of his arse in that game were ridiculous. Like, I don't think we've ever seen passing like that at our club, in terms of, like, from centre-back. I can't think of any defenders who have been that good on the ball. And it was quite good to see. But what did you, Nigerian Dan, what did you think about our over-reliance maybe on Luiz? And should we have had an alternative or a backup plan?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just thought it was very strange that he was the only one making those passes. Like, you do have a player in Thomas Partey who's able to play those balls as well. And I think he's the one who actually played that ball to Bellerin initially, the one that came off his chest that wasn't Luiz. And I thought we just ignored him way too much in this match. So, like, you saw it against I can't even remember the name of the team that we played in Europa.
Rapid Vienna.
Yeah. You saw it against them that when he's on the ball, he's able to beat players on a dribble. He's able to pass through the lines. And I thought that we could have used him a lot more than what we did. He's got the variation there to be able to do short passes, to be able to beat players on the dribble, to be able to spray those balls as well. So I thought it was very strange that we bought someone like him and we're playing someone like him. And then we basically ignored him in the centre of the park. I didn't really like that. I think Leicester did do a good job about marking him and sort of cutting the passing lanes. But what I found was that our players were sort of reluctant to trust him under that pressure. And I feel like he's good enough that you can pass to him under pressure. And most of the time he will get himself a yard of space to be able to create new angles. So I don't think we were brave enough really in what we were trying to do, and we're just very much reliant on Luiz, as you said.
Go on, Leo.
Yeah, Dan, I'm going to ask you and put you on the spot a bit. So why do you think that was the case? So do you feel like Arteta's told them, man, don't pass that ball to Partey to play through the middle?
Yeah.
Or do you feel like it's an automatism? Is that a word? Whatever. An automatic kind of thing of the team. They've been playing through Xhaka for 4-5 years. It would be very difficult. Partey's come the last, 2-3 weeks? Do you feel like it's something that the team automatically does? That's their de facto go-to to play through Xhaka, or it's an instruction from Arteta?
I think it's the team more than that, because I feel like I saw that, like, sort of the pass maps and everything like that, and it was very, you know, that shoehorn that everyone horseshoe that everyone keeps going on and on about. Yeah, but my thing is, I feel like we haven't had midfielders who can receive the ball under pressure in so long, probably since Santi Cazorla was at the club, right? And so the team is just used to, right, if there's someone being marked, I'm not going to pass the ball there because we're going to lose it and then we're going to get transitioned on, which is what we've seen for the past three, four seasons. So I feel like the team needs to understand that now actually you've got someone that you can sort of fizz those passes to, and he can take it on a half turn. He can beat a man and then he can find the pass. So I think it is just a sort of the fear of losing the ball and getting countered on more than instruction. Because for me, I don't feel like it's by design that you're playing free in midfield and you ignore the guy in the middle of the
I think it is, you know.
I don't get how that's possible.
I think they're not used to playing with a world-class midfielder like Partey. Like, as you said, for the last four seasons since we've not been in Champions League, the profiles we've lost have been crazy. Like, we lost Wilshere, we've lost Cazorla, Ozil's out of the squad now. So you've lost all these midfielders that can take up the ball on the half turn, can dribble even if there's pressure there. So they're just not used to pass to somebody like that, that can take the ball, burst through players with his physicality and his technique and do the rest. So
I definitely agree with that, you know. But when I was looking at the game, or when I was watching the game, the first half was Arsenal playing and building for the wide areas. So Partey would be in the middle, and I know he's got this nickname of Octopus. He would be the one that would when the ball is loose, would initiate the gegenpress, and we'd be very good at kind of getting to these spaces and shutting down spaces very quickly, unless they struggle to get out. So I think he was a big part of us being able to stay in the final third and really pin Leicester in. So I think his utilization was primary for that reason. And then in the build-up, I think the idea was to go into the wide areas to Ceballos and Xhaka equally, which on the pass maps, and then also if you watch the game, of course, they were always receiving the ball in the deep wide areas. And so I think that was the plan, to kind of build through them. And Partey being some sort of a decoy maybe in midfield, because you can't let that man be by his own, right, if you're the opposition. So they always have to put one or maybe two people to kind of minimize the passing lengths in. So I think the plan was really to build for the wide areas and exploit the wide areas, which we did, and that was through building through Xhaka and Ceballos and using Luiz. And also at sometimes I think Gabriel's long passing wasn't too great in this game, but he tried a lot of switches too. So we tried to add verticality to our game from the center back position, and Luiz did that to an exceptional standard. I think Gabriel was okay. But we tried that, and the main weapon we had was getting out of Tierney. And even if he didn't get the ball into space, if it was 1v1, Tierney was quite good at just shifting it and crossing quite quickly. So that was our main and primary way of creating. But that way of creating and building completely neglected the middle. So we didn't have any players, as you already alluded to, Karis, like we didn't have any players in the half spaces, in the center of the pitch, turning on the ball and wanting to receive there. And why this setup was really frustrating for me was because Aubameyang and Saka were both being wide forwards instead of inside forwards. So I would have understood this setup of building in the wide areas if you then have Aubameyang on the left side and Saka on the right side, both receiving in the half spaces and at least occupying those half spaces, getting more space to Bellerin and Tierney equally. Ultimately, Tierney's quality still made him create chances, but it just didn't seem like a coherent attack for me. And I think we really pinned in Leicester because they were willing to give away possession and just sit in. That was primarily the game plan. And we were also quite good at kind of recycling and winning the ball back quickly. But ultimately, we didn't create that many chances if we were keeping it a buck. We didn't create that many chances.
I think we got into some good areas where, you know, chances didn't really come off of them. Like we got Tierney into some amazing areas. We got Bellerin into some really, really good areas. The most frustrating thing for me was that we didn't get any of our forwards into great areas. You know, like you said, that whole, the front three thing was the thing that most just didn't make sense to me whatsoever. Like the fact that the forwards seemed to be more wider than the midfielders. And it just played into that whole horseshoe thing that we were talking about. And I felt kind of sorry for Xhaka and Ceballos because they get a lot of stick after the game. It's like, you know, when people bring out these pass maps and it's like, you know, look at Xhaka's only passing in one direction, but it was literally all he could hit. Who else could he play the ball to? You know, Lacazette.
He's something.
he's becoming a huge liability to us, man.
Can I add something? I saw from those pass maps as well, it said, you know how they have different categories? I was wondering, it said most progressive passes received and most of them went to Lacazette, and that kind of tells you the main issue, because of when he gets on the ball, there's this idea that, you know, he's got brilliant hold-up play and stuff, and to be honest, when he gets the ball, it doesn't really stick to him like it should with any top-class centre-forward. So we lost the ball a lot when it came to him, and kind of like in the second half, we stopped past him. But I wanted to counter something else as well. Because you know how you said that we weren't creating much chances? I feel like, if I have to put it more specifically, we created a lot more in the first half. And I saw the stats. It said that we created 11 chances. So 11 chances is quite a lot in one match. Like, even in many games under Arteta, we've not even had 11 chances in one game. So it's just kind of surprising that we didn't tuck any away in the first half. And eventually, we were made to pay in the second half. We only had like one shot. So
we definitely asked for more shots, and we got all our shots in like the first 32 minutes or something like that. And then we had, I think I counted it. It was something like 11 shots in the first 33 minutes and one shot in the remaining 57. Something, I think is my right, but, right there.
That's kind of wild.
But before, move on to shots and move
that
on.
That is right, isn't it?
Just about. But yeah, before you move on,
33 and 57 is 90.
Yeah, yeah, you got it, man. So before you move on to that Lacazette and all that other stuff, I'm going to go back to what Dan was saying, because you haven't really answered my question. So what you said, Dan, is that we build through via wide areas.
Which Dan? Please, specifically.
Leo's here for an argument.
I'm not arguing with anyone. I'm simply if you don't want me to highlight the points, I could jump off the pod. But if you want proper analysis, then let me do my thing. You get me?
Fire away.
Dan, you said we build via wide areas. Yeah, that's cool. Fair enough. I agree. We do build via wide areas 100%. But that's not what I asked. What I was asking was, do you feel like it's a specific instruction from Arteta for these players not to pass through the middle to Partey? Do you feel like Arteta specifically told them not to do that? That's different to saying, let's build via wide areas, right? That's a different thing, because you're still a player on that pitch. You're still making decisions, despite what Arteta says. Partey in space, you should pass to him, right? If you feel like Thomas Partey in space...
At times they did, but the overwhelming theme of the game was building through wide areas. So we are passing more into the wide spaces, and especially through Xhaka. And you can see on the passes they've received. And I think it was an instruction to go to Xhaka and Ceballos in the wide area. This is how we want to progress the ball, and we want to get the ball into Saka and then Tierney and then Bellerin to create from those areas. And I don't think that the plan was to go to Partey for this. So, yeah, I believe it was a specific instruction, yeah.
You know what's interesting to me, though, right? So, like, obviously, Arteta, he keeps picking everyone bar Aubameyang in the centre forward position, right? So my whole thing with the instruction to build via wide areas, then why is it so important that you have this person who you deem as, you know, the better on the ball player if your intention is to not progress the ball through the middle remotely, right? So like Lacazette, from my understanding, right, Lacazette's role in this team is to be sort of almost a false nine and drop into the middle whilst the two wide forwards come into the space that he vacates, right? So it's like, if you're actually going over and above to pick Lacazette or pick an Nketiah or a Willian or a Joe Willock centre forward instead of Aubameyang, to me, that says that you do want to progress play through the middle as well as through the wide areas, right? Which is why I'm saying that, like, if that is the instruction, you would just play Aubameyang up front, right? Because he's going to be the one who's receiving these crosses and receiving these balls from wide areas. So, like, this is what I'm saying. Like, I do fully understand your point, Dan, but maybe it's Arteta that's not making sense. Do you know what I mean?
Because what you're saying there would make sense, but ultimately, Lacazette is the only player in the final third ready to receive the ball on any sort of turn. Usually, he doesn't turn. Usually, the ball doesn't stick. But that's the only player that is delegated by Arteta to play in this position. Because you can see on the average positions on the pitch, and when we watch the game, that they're all in the wide areas. And it just doesn't make sense, which is why I'm so annoyed with the setup that he's currently, or the setup he did in that game, even the game before, and the game before that. It was just he doesn't use enough of the players that we potentially have that could play in those little pockets of space. And I think in order to really maximize our attack, and we all know we don't have the top quality in attack as many of our competitors, perhaps, we need to get the balance right. And like I said, don't give us much through the middle. He doesn't give us much through holding up the ball or anything. So Aubameyang can play center forward. I don't see why he couldn't. And then obviously Saka has to play. So Saka needs to play. And you should then look at who can you complement with Saka and Aubameyang, because those two are, I believe, our most potent attackers. And you can get in someone like Nelson. You can get in someone like even Pepe. I'm a big fan. Or Willian. These players complement the attack better playing Aubameyang in the wide areas. I just don't see the point. And the player that plays in the center doesn't seem to get the ball much as well. So you don't really get Lacazette in the game. But he gets in the end of chances, and he's not good at converting those chances. So actually, it suits Aubameyang much better. If he's not much in the game and he just gets at the end of chances, surely that's better than him receiving it somewhat in a middle area on the far right and then having to play 1-2 to cross it in for Lacazette, who doesn't even get on the end of the cross. It just feels very counterproductive to me. So I think the whole setup and the utilization of the profiles we have in attack doesn't really quite fit right now. And that's my main criticism.
Support for this episode is brought to you by Mrs. Myers. A delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Myers, everything we make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived ingredients, our cleaning products work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. So bring a little bit of the outside inside your four walls and bask in the wonder of a garden from the comfort of home. Mrs. Myers, rooted in goodness. Shop now at MrsMyers.com.
Sure, but if we look at historically, in terms of we've had, what, four managers now, every manager, even Wenger, played him up front and changed. He was left, he was wide left, he played him up front, he said, nah, changed it back. Emery...
Arteta hasn't, him, though.
Do you know
Arteta hasn't played him up front, but Wenger did it, changed him back. Emery played him on the left. Ljungberg played him on the left. He played him up front for one game, and we won the game, fair enough.
The only game we won.
Yeah, but you won the game, fair enough. But he only played four games, so it is what it is. Emery. Arteta now has come in and has played him again on the left. Yeah. I'm not saying that that's the correct thing to do, but when four managers have all said, let's play this guy on the left, there has to be some underlying reason as to why they want to do it and why they don't prefer him to be up front.
Yeah, but I think there's...
He played at Dortmund as a striker for how many years, though? That's lovely.
That's lovely, but at Arsenal, four managers have played him like wide left. I'm happy for him at Dortmund. That's great.
And those managers were so successful.
And I think they might not have been. They might not have been, but there must be. We're ignoring
the elephant in the room here, though, is that 6 months before we signed Aubameyang, we signed another striker for £50 million that can't not play. Do you get what I'm saying? Right. So, like,
he's been dropped for Eddie Nketiah. Hold on. This guy was dropped for Nketiah.
But not for any prolonged period of time. He's never been.
How many games did Nketiah start?
My whole thing is.
I don't think he's played that many, you know.
My whole thing is.
Double check. I don't know.
If we didn't have Lacazette, I firmly believe that our team will be playing Aubameyang up top. I don't think Nketiah.
Not on that attack. I think it'd be Eddie, you know.
But maybe. But my whole thing is with this is that. I don't mind Aubameyang on the left. I don't mind him on the right, as long as he's getting his chances and as long as he's scoring, right? Or as long as the team is functioning well. Aubameyang played on the right when we went to Valencia and he scored a hat-trick there, right? No one had any complaints about Aubameyang playing on the right there because it worked well that night, right? What we are seeing at the moment is that Aubameyang is not having shots. He's not getting on the end of chances. We just gave him a £375,000 a week contract.
Who has that contract?
Aubameyang, right?
Is that what he's being paid? I thought it was 250k.
And then bonuses can take him to be above Ozil's wage, isn't it, basically.
Obviously, Nketiah started about four games in a row. Sorry, go on, carry on, Dan.
So obviously, right, my whole thing with this is, if Lacazette was, and our attack more generally was functioning, I don't think anyone would care about Aubameyang on the left. Look, he almost got Prem top scorer playing from the left last season. Both under two different managers without a functioning attack, right? Without a functioning team. So the issue here is that Lacazette is not performing in his role as a number nine. He's just not performing, right? So you can't have it where you're playing Lacazette, a guy who's giving you consistent 1 out of 10s. You have a Willian play false nine. You're having Joe Willock come on and play false nine ahead of your guy who's now your top earner at the club, right? Who is your top scorer, who's your captain, playing him out of position. It doesn't make sense anymore. You just can't justify it to me.
You know, last year when he was scoring a lot, we said what he's doing is already mad. It doesn't look sustainable. And we're here now. It's dry. The goals have dried up because what we were doing was not sustainable. Aubameyang was basically Superman for like 6 months. So
I mean, I think it's a bit premature to say the goals have dried up after what, like five games. Well, relax again. It's one of those.
He's not getting any chances, Leo. I don't think it's an Aubameyang. It's not an Aubameyang problem. Like when we're talking about the goals drying up, well, I think it's more indicative of. I don't think we're saying Aubameyang is finished as a player, but we're not getting him into. He had one touch in the area against Leicester, and we penned.
Yeah, I mean, that's poor. Listen, that's
penned him in for the whole of the first half.
Right. So I completely understand that, but what I don't understand is why people say that to me as if I'm saying it wasn't poor. It was poor. Like there's no denying it. It was bad. Right. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we didn't go from creating 50 chances a game to creating 10. Under Emery, we weren't creating chances either. People are acting as if what Arteta has done. Hold on. Two seconds. People are acting as if what Arteta has done has removed our previous amazing chance creation and now given us defensive solidity. That's not what's happened. There was no chance creation before. There still is none, right? He's just, all he's done is change the structure so that now you don't concede 30 shots a game, right? Now you concede two. You might lose 1-0, but you're not scoring. He hasn't fixed the chance creation. But there wasn't any chance creation before. What chance creation are people talking about when they refer to the chance creation that Arteta supposedly ruined? There wasn't any.
When you kind of look at the Arsenal team across Arteta's reign and a lot of the goals that we scored, we don't score our goals from breaking down deep blocks. It seems to be that we're in transition and the opposition are also trying to track us as well. And you have, like, you know, Maitland-Niles in his position, Aubameyang on his inside channel position. So we're kind of like scoring from fast breaks rather than breaking down deep blocks. And that's something that Mikel kind of has to learn. And that's
sure.
Why it's
and, but my question to you, my point is, under Emery, were we scoring against deep blocks? Were we breaking down deep blocks under Emery?
No.
Right. Not really. Right. Okay. Right. So we weren't doing that.
I can't
before.
Lie. More
no, no, no one, no one played with a deep block against us.
I was going to say.
Because we were so bad. so bad that they felt like, you know what? We might as well go for it, fam. These lot are awful. So that's what they went for us. Right. We didn't, when we did face deep blocks, because we did in some Europa League games and things like that. We faced deep blocks. We didn't break them down. Olympiacos came to finish us calmly.
That was under Arteta. We actually.
No, I know. But there was Östersunds, for example, that played. That was Wenger.
That was Wenger.
Was that Wenger?
Yeah.
We were getting pammed for so long. I'm forgetting which manager it was. And that's the thing. What I'm trying to say is there was no ruining of chance creation under Arteta. I'd be more concerned if we were creating 50 chances. He came in, changed it. Now we create zero, but we're really defensive. Then I'd be very concerned. But that's not what's happened.
I don't think that's the point that people are making. People are making the point of Arteta looks like he's not finding the solutions in attack. And it's been like this for not just one game or two.
Right. And my counterpoint. Hold on.
The solution he's attempting are very poor solutions. Willian falls nine. Trying Nketiah on the left wing.
What was that all about?
Nelson had, probably apart from Saka, he probably had one of the best attacking performances from an individual player's point of view against Leicester, and he's not used them since then. It's just some of these decisions are baffling when we have such a problem in attack. He tries to just kind of shoehorn certain players into the team and then doesn't use the solutions that seeming at least obvious. Because if he was trying the obvious solutions, people wouldn't criticize him, even if they don't work, because we're seeing that he's trying to find the right way, or he's trying to find solutions with the right pieces. But instead, we're seeing wild things like Willian falls nine and Nketiah left mid. We've seen Lacazette still starting through the middle. Then we've seen Aubameyang right wing now, far right, crossing to Lacazette. It doesn't make sense. And that's what people are criticizing.
All right. And the overarching point leads on to what I was talking about, right? So you're saying, he's doing all these quirky things. He's not trying the obvious, blah, 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 blah. Again, fine. He's found a solution defensively. So defensively, we can all agree that Arsenal are a much better side, right? They're not getting pammed 3-4. It's normally a one. Let someone makes a mistake at the back. Leno is at the back doing something crazy.
Eight players at the back.
Two seconds, my guy. Calm down. I know you're on your period. Chill. It's all right. It's okay.
This guy, you keep mentioning Muna, man. You're going to get in a lot of trouble if you keep doing
that. Nah, I don't mind. Let me get in trouble. That's between me and them. Don't worry about that.
Man United are coming to ruin us where they're 5-0 up.
They're 5-0 up, by the way. Yeah. So my dad just is texting me like crazy. What I'm saying is that, yes, he's trying all these quirky solutions. He's been in the job, discounting COVID, for about 7 months, right? He's found a solution defensively, and now we can all see he's trying to find a solution attacking-wise.
We're going
to
say
he
changed,
COVID. No. He found a solution defensively. If he did, well, mad thing. But he found a solution defensively, and he's trying to find a solution attacking-wise. Our problem is that we don't agree with the solutions that he's attempting to find.
The problem is they don't work.
Hold on, my guy.
No, because you're taking too long.
So what, when you were talking for 10 minutes and no one interrupted you, you weren't taking too long?
Relax, guy.
Okay, all right.
Anyway. I was talking.
No, I'm not finishing my point about anyway. Where are we going?
All right, finish your point then. Finish your point.
Cool. So what I'm saying is, right, he should be allowed to have creative license, whether you agree with the decisions he's making or not. And I don't agree with them. Let me get that out first and foremost. I feel the same as you. I do not agree with them. I said this very early on. But I understand he's a new manager 6 months into his first job. He's going to try some quirky shit that we don't agree with. If Willian went and scored 2 or 3 goals against City, you'd say, you know what? Fair play. He didn't. It doesn't work. You move on to the next solution. My thing is, I feel he will eventually find the right solution. Maybe not as quickly as we would like, but he'll find it. It's one of those things where he has to experiment.
Leo, if the solution is staring you bam in the face, yeah.
Is it?
I think it is. Okay. I think the solution here is you play Aubameyang up front, and that is the best solution that we have. That is staring you right in the face, yeah. It's the most obvious thing. If you then have to then try 7-8 other solutions to then get to that solution that's then staring you point blank in the face, why should you have patience for that? Would you accept that in your workplace?
Yes, that's what I do. That's my job.
The most obvious solution, you'd be happy with someone not trying the most obvious solution, trying all these low probability solutions.
Yeah, I mean, in my place of work, is a very bad example of this. In my business, that would be what you should do.
You'd probably get fired if you don't do it, you know?
In my business, you wouldn't.
Okay, right. But in the football business then, do you think that's the right protocol?
It depends, right? So what? Where, it depends what you want.
From caveats, the team. Man.
Hold on, man. Whoa. Caveat why are you shouting?
FC. Caveat FC.
I'm not giving
any
caveats.
A politician, bro.
I'm not giving any caveats. What I'm telling you is factual. It depends what you want from your side, right? So what we want from the side.
Leo is a proper Tory, isn't it?
From the side. Arteta might be more focused on structure. When we want to see free-flowing football, we want to be entertained. Arteta wants to win, right? So the way he feels that it might be the correct way to win might not be the same as what we feel. And we should allow him that creative license to hang himself. If he feels like, okay, cool, this is what I want to do, he does it, and by that, it doesn't work, then he's hung himself, right? He has to go. You live and die by the decisions you make. Let him make the decision. Let's see what he's about. That's what I'm saying. I don't agree with the decision.
You're letting him make the decision. No one is stopping him.
But no one.
We've got no control.
Because you can't stop him.
Exactly.
Right? So, but what my point is, people are saying, oh, Arteta needs to go. I've had enough.
No, but none of us are, though.
Relax, man. What? Dan said it today in the chat. Dan said it today.
What, Dan?
The Dan right here. No, German Dan. Not Nigerian Dan. German
Dan. I'm here. I'm very strongly criticizing him because I think the solution is very obvious what he should be doing. But he's refusing to do it. He's actually refusing to play Aubameyang up top. If you look at it, the amount of games he's managed, he's not played Aubameyang once up top. That is crazy when you think about that, really. That's actually mental because all the managers that have come before have at least played Aubameyang up top once. So that's very stubborn from Arteta to not do that when we have obviously a scoring problem and he's our most potent attacker. So that is something that I strongly criticise. Then I strongly criticise the Saliba utilisation and the treatment of him as well. So you're having Holding and Mustafi clearly ahead of him in the pecking order, and not registering them for Europa League games. It's just baffling some of these things, and they're just stacking up. And then you have the Nketiah left wing over Nelson in the Europa League game. Like, then you have the Willian falls nine.
Will I know you want to say the Ozil one as well, Dad.
No, there is a one. Do you know what? The thing is, that one is cut. That's done. That's done. That's not a talking point anymore. It's about the solutions he's finding now, and he's not getting to the right area that we want him to. Because you got to think, Sean thinks the same or similar as me. He doesn't care about Ozil. So it's not just me having these opinions and voices. There's other people that have that, and many people. Because the solution is, or one of the solutions is quite obvious. And he's not tried it once. And that's mad. Mm.
All right. I'm quite keen to get back into the game. Sorry, Dan. I'm quite keen. I that was quite a lengthy discussion. I'm quite keen just to wrap things up on the game. Because I think there's things in the games that we haven't really touched on. So obviously, in the first half, we made some chances and we didn't capitalize on them for one reason or another, right? Now, I'm interested to understand why we had such a, in relativity terms, why we had such a good first half. But second half, we just couldn't do anything. So I think it's one thing saying, yes, Leicester did this, but why were we unable to adjust? What happened? Does anyone have any answers to that?
I would just say that the second half kind of summed up a lot of Arteta's reign. And I feel like, don't get me wrong, I love Arteta a lot. But in terms of on the attack, I feel like there's a lack of, how can I call it, ingenuity from some of the players, which sometimes you can't pin it down to Arteta. Because I'd say other than Saka, I don't really see any players that can make something out of nothing. So I feel like the key to our attack success will be where Saka plays. And I feel like if you put Saka in that midfield rather than on the wing, which I feel like is a better winger anyway, but for the sake of Arsenal right now, if you put him in that midfield, he's somebody that I think could possibly, like, break lines. And then another issue as well is that, you know, ball retention for us is kind of poor sometimes in the wide areas. And I feel like if you put somebody like, let's say, of Reece Nelson's profile, I think he'll be able to hold up the ball more in those inside channels better than someone like Aubameyang would. And I feel like just better, like as we were saying before, if you shift Aubameyang in the centre, his movement's more like unpredictable. While when you put him like out on the left, he's so much easier to read and he's just very like ineffective. So, yeah, that's kind of what I really feel.
So, but then what actually? Oh,
I feel
then between.
I also thought that their pressing structure was very good.
And then
good.
The second half, we still. I know Luiz obviously went injured. That was devastating for us, right? Like, but the fact it shouldn't be as easy as. you know, okay, Luiz comes off and we have one shot for the entire rest of the game.
It shouldn't be, but that's what it is, because that was our only plan for scoring, right? So, like, this is what I'm saying. So, like, if you look at that half, we didn't create a chance other than a Luiz ball over the top to one of the fullbacks and they crossed it in, right? There was no other method of chance creation. If you looked at the Man City match, if you looked at our matches generally, we don't have a pattern of play for when we are in possession and the team is not pushing us high, right? There is no method of scoring goals when we have the ball unless the team is pressing us and we can then pass it in, around them into the spaces that they vacate with their press, right? And that's been the case since lockdown and Ozil's not been in the team, yeah? So, like, we said it throughout the summer that we needed both a Partey and an Aouar, right, to have a successful season. And the reason we said that is because, number one, you saw it in the first half. I know Leicester wanted to play a deep block, this, that and the other, but we were able to play much higher up the pitch because of Thomas Partey. But we weren't able to do is build effectively through the middle of the pitch because we don't have anyone operating in the middle of the pitch. And we've seen it on occasion when Bukayo Saka finds himself there. We've been able to find him. We saw it against West Ham. When he finds himself in those half spaces, he's the one that can play the ball in behind. Right? We saw it against Sheffield United when Willian was playing in the hole. He was able to link that play. We were able to make combinations on that right hand side, and we scored two goals. Right. So for me, in our and obviously again, I'm not counting the Fulham game because they're just rubbish, and so I don't think we can really learn anything from that game. But in terms of the games where we've actually scored some goals, you can see that our goals have come from when people have been in those half spaces, right, and they've been able to link defense and attack. Which is why, for me, I think one of Willian or Saka needs to be playing in that hole, or someone needs to be playing in that hole, because I think Nelson and Smith Rowe can do it as well. But obviously, we don't know how ready they are for Premier League football. But someone needs to be playing there just to occupy players, because Leicester were playing six midfielders this game, right? They were clogging up the middle of that park, and they were saying, right, you can have it in the wide areas because we're just going to head it away with our three meathead defenders. Probably a disrespect to Fofana there as well. So as soon as Luiz came off, we didn't have any way of creating chances, and we haven't had all season.
Do you know what's quite scary about that is that in the games that you've mentioned, I think it actually physically took someone to break out of that kind of rigid structure we had. Like, I'm thinking of the West Ham game. Literally, Ceballos said, fuck it, I'm going to run ahead of the ball for once.
Yeah, he did.
It took him 89 minutes to do it, but he said, fuck it, I'm going to do it. It took, was it Elneny playing that line? Was it the Elneny who played the pass?
Yeah, against Rapid Vienna, yeah. That
pass. And Elneny making a run as well, like, but in behind.
Yeah, what game was that?
That was Sheffield United.
Sheffield United, sorry. That's the one I'm talking about. Elneny, that one. It's taken these, like, and I don't know. This is what's confused me a little bit. I don't know if Arteta is telling them not to do this, yeah, which would be fucking scary in itself, yeah, or it's just taken these players too long to do it. And I'm struggling to believe that, because I don't understand why then, all right, after 80-something minutes, a player is then going to be like, do you know what? This isn't working. I need to take this on myself. And break out of that rigid structure. Why was that not happening before? And why weren't we doing that against Leicester? Why didn't that happen in the second half? Why did no one take it by the bollocks and just say, fuck it, this isn't working, let's try this? Is that how much does the players have to take the blame in that second half as the coach does?
I think the blame has always got to be split anyway. So while we're critical of Arteta, the players are on the pitch. You know, so, and they're following some of the instructions he's given, but they're not following them 100% all the time, are they? Like, I know we're making jokes about how basic coaches every pass, but the players are making decisions on the pitch. But I do feel like we just lack that kind of fluidity, and we lack the willingness to take risks. in general. So you described the Ceballos situation where he doesn't do that often. He doesn't go ahead of the ball really ever for Arsenal. So the moment he does it, we're creating goals. I just don't know if that is a distinct way of Arteta basically saying, listen, we don't want to do that. We don't want to be caught in a counter attack, or the players are just not taking the risk that he wants them to. Either way, is a poor display from both coaching and the player side, because ultimately, someone has to take responsibility, and they will always be the manager. So when the players do well, he takes some of the praise, but it goes mainly to the players. But when the team does badly, the criticism will go to him. That's the hard part of his job, I guess. But it just feels like we're not taking enough risk, and it feels like we're not occupying the right spaces. And that is clear, and we have to criticize. And I just hope he can find solutions. I think he tried the few solutions now. Leo has said he's tried a couple of things. He probably will try other things. I agree with that. He just needs to find this chemistry or the solution fast, because we need to pick up some points, man.
You know what I find interesting as well is that I think that those moments where the players took the risks is when they've actually been in their most comfortable positions on the pitch, right? Because number one, I do think Arteta is getting his selections wrong, because he's picking a lot of players out of position. Like Ceballos is most comfortable on the left side of midfield, but we rarely see him there, right? He's always playing on the right side, and he's not really used to, you know, sort of playing those passes from the right to the right, right? Which is why I think our right side of attack suffers quite a bit. Against West Ham was one of the few times where he's actually found himself on the left side of the pitch, and that's where he's most comfortable. So he is more comfortable, you know, sort of making that running behind. Against Sheffield United, that was probably the most balanced our attack has been outside of that Leicester game in the League Cup, where you had Saka on the left, Aubameyang in the middle, Pepe on the right. Willian drifted over to that side. Aubameyang drifted over to that side. And then you had four or five players in that same area able to combine. And what I find is a lot of players are playing outside, out of position. So they are relying entirely on the manager's instruction rather than what comes naturally to them, because they're not in an area of the pitch that comes naturally to them personally. So I feel like if you saw an actual balanced team. So you have a midfield three with Saka on the left side, maybe Willian on the left side, and then Saka on the left, or you had Nelson on the left, and you had Ceballos playing on the left side of midfield, Partey playing on the right side of midfield, you have Pepe on the right, Aubameyang in the middle. I think you will see better combinations because players are just more comfortable playing in those areas of the pitch, because that's where they're used to. Like as Dan mentioned earlier, Nelson probably gave you one of the best attacking performances that we've had this season when he was playing in his best position. Do you know what I mean? Which is left wing, and he was able to combine with Saka, who was playing left centre midfield. So I don't really understand why it's so difficult to just play players in the positions where they feel most comfortable, because then I feel like that's the most likely avenue for you to get a cogent attack.
This show brought to you by Quibids. Looking for an incredible way to save big this holiday season on Apple AirPods, Samsung HD TVs, Keurig coffee makers, gift cards, and so much more? Then check out Quibids.com, a revolutionary online auction site where you can save up to 95% on your favorite smart devices, electronics, kitchen appliances, and more. So stop paying retail today. That's Quibids.com. Visit Quibids now.
Karis and Leo, I kind of already know the two Dan's thoughts on this. They're quite worried by what's going on. Karis, are you at all worried about Arteta and his management of the team?
I'm kind of 50-50. Like, I feel like Arteta's the right man for our long-term vision and what we want to do. You know, he's set us up well defensively, given us structure. You could see that, you know, there's a few patterns in the way we move. But the thing is that, you know, sometimes everything seems a bit too robotic. Like you guys said, that it feels like Arteta coaches the passes sometimes. So it's like, I just feel like some of the players need to come out of their shell a little bit more. But then What I'm a little bit worried about is I'm not sure if these issues will be sorted out till we come to January. Because I know that I feel like when we play Lacazette, he's the only person that we have that can kind of give us presence in the middle. And he basically doesn't offer that. So I'm kind of like eagerly waiting for January to see if somebody like Awar or Szoboszlai comes. Because it's like, we just need somebody that can make something happen from the central areas and can just kind of have the ball stick to them. So I'm a bit worried attack side, but defensively, we've been pretty solid, to be honest. So, like, if you've seen the way Gabriel's played, like, in my opinion, he's been possibly top three centre-backs in the league this season. He's been a great calming influence. I'm a bit worried about Mustafi for Man United, because you saw the way he got dragged out badly by Harvey Barnes, and then you saw how the goal occurred in the end. So I'm hoping that he doesn't play. Like, I know it'll be a baptism of fire for Saliba, but I'd rather Saliba go in there and make a mistake rather than put in Mustafi and knowing that he's already going to make a mistake anyway.
Get it out of your head, mate. Saliba's not playing, mate. Get it out of your head.
I doubt it's going to be
a back three, Mustafi, Tierney and Gabriel.
I don't want to accept it, but I know it's going to happen. That's the thing.
Yeah.
My mind doesn't want to accept it, but so we just have to pray doubly hard that we're okay on Sunday with Mustafi. But
he's going to have to pray five times that day.
The defense has been good, just attack-wise.
I'm not going to lie. I'm praying Mustafi pulls up with another hammy still. Like,
boy, he'll play Xhaka there or something. He's not playing Saliba, bro. He's not playing Saliba. Get over it. Like, no matter what injuries happen. And I heard Holden's back in training as well. Chambers back in training as well. It'll be one of them, man, before Saliba.
Yeah, that's picture of him in training.
Saliba is ninth choice centre back right now, bro. Like, Leo, what about you?
You'll recall Mavropanos from London. Worried?
But say that again, Lewis.
Without being a politician, are you worried?
No, I was worried first. I was the first person to express worry, right? I'm still worried.
I told you so, Merchant. Yeah, there we go.
100%. I've got to get that in. I've got to get that in. Because you might have been covering all the last week. But I still feel the same as I felt 3-4 months ago. Exactly the same. I feel like his taste is very questionable in terms of players he selects and players that he chooses to buy. Marie, Cedric, all of that. Fair enough. Gabriel and Partey, fair play. Got to give credit where credit's due. But besides that, it's been very questionable. I don't like how defensive the football is. What I did really like was in the first maybe 3 or 4 games, the intensity of press, and that's disappeared. I don't know why that's disappeared. I expressed concern with that at the beginning because I've never seen another top manager come in and do one thing and say, this is my philosophy, intense pressing, this is what I do. And then that doesn't work. It works for maybe 75 minutes and you're maybe falling short last 15. And you completely change to 3 at the back, Mourinho, Simeone style, let's defend. I've never seen that before. I've never seen a successful manager do it. That's very concerning for me. The fact that he's so willing to abandon his philosophy so quickly, that's very concerning for me. So I'm concerned for sure. But I also feel like we should give the manager time to hang himself. If it's going to be wrong, give him enough time to collate enough data to say, you know what, he 100% is the wrong choice because over this period of time, he's been poor. I don't feel like it's the right thing to do 6 months relatively because of COVID into his managerial career for us to turn around and say, let's get this guy out. I don't think that's the right thing to do.
I don't have the exact quote, but I feel like the reason why our shape changes a lot, because if I remember from Arteta's press conferences, he kind of says that, you know, the players can't exactly do what he wants to do. So sometimes it forces him to be a bit pragmatic sometimes, which of course I want us to take more risks because that's kind the way we've grown up. But I feel like he's trying to be a bit more pragmatic at times.
I think that's absolute nonsense. I said it months ago when he said it, and I'm saying it again. I think that's ridiculous. If you look at all the other top managers, look at Pep. When he first came to Man City and what you asked him to do, they couldn't do it. Like, they were conceding goals left, right and centre. They could not do what he asked them to do. He didn't change. Right? He said, this is the way we play football here. If you cannot do it, we're going to sell you and buy other players. Simple as that. When Klopp came in, he did the same thing. He said, this is how we play football here. If you cannot do it, you will be sold and we'll buy new players. You can't then come in and say, all right, I'm Arteta. This is how you play football. Oh, you can't do it. Cool. Let's become Simeone London FC. Like,
I don't like that. I don't like that comparison, man, because I don't think he is Simeone.
What kind of manager do you guys think Arteta is? Because at the moment, Arteta looks a bit to me like an Allegri. Like, he's very, very structured defensively. And ultimately, I think we will, if he gets better quality in the final third, I think we can also score a lot of goals and we'll be relying on the quality of our attackers. But at the moment, just from the last 6 months, since he did that change from not being as pressing anymore, it just looks like an Allegri to me, you know? But
But
I was going to ask, what do you guys think? Because obviously people say Simeone in jest, but I don't think you fully mean Simeone, innit?
It's hyperbole. I don't actually mean Simeone. I think he's quite unique in his.
That's the maddest pronunciation approach. Of hyperbole I've ever heard in my life, by the way.
Sorry, man. Hyperbole. I'm Nigerian, man. I wasn't thinking. Let me just enjoy my speech, bro. Why are you interrupting me? What's your problem? See this English guy come to do Brexit. Relax, man. Let me say how I'm saying it, man. What's wrong with you? Anyway, what was I going to say? Yeah, I think he's quite unique in his application. I can't think of anyone top of my head that I can say, yeah, he's like this. He's very, very unique in the way he does things. Very a hybrid between a few managers. Mm. So yeah, it's difficult to
think. There are similarities to Pep 100% because I think Pep has this robotic, City are robotic. They're just very good at it. They're just very, very good at it.
The thing is, as well, though, I don't think it's fair to say, with the comparisons to Pep and Klopp, because I do think Klopp is very pragmatic in the way he implements his style, and Pep also could do that because he has a blank checkbook at City. So we've seen that he's been able to spend £500 million on fullbacks alone. Do you know what I mean? So I do feel like if Arteta had the same budget, then he'd probably be able to do that. But you know, when you come into that Arsenal job, you know you ain't got money, you know you ain't got ability to free up money through sales. So like what Klopp did. And I think what you'll find is Klopp, from that, was it 18-19 season, when they just missed out on a title, their style did change a little bit to 1920 when they eventually lifted the title, and they focused a lot more on being resolute. But obviously, because of the fact that he'd developed that attack for a lot longer in the previous two seasons, they were still able to combine and score the goals that they scored, plus the players as well.
They were definitely a lot less high octane.
Yeah,
I was gonna say
I'm not sure, you know.
Yeah, me too. I'm gonna agree.
No, because I think Klopp he improved his game management quite a bit, right? And it wasn't. I think when he first joined, yes, it was gegenpress, 100% all the time. And I definitely do not think that the Liverpool team from 16-17 play the exact same way as they do last season and this season now, because you can tell that by the way they use Firmino, the way they use their fullbacks is evolved and it's changed, right, based on the players that they have in the team. So what I would say about Arteta is I don't think he has actually changed his style. He's just changed the emphasis on what he's doing, and I don't think he's had enough time to work on those attacking patterns as much as he has to work on the defensive ones, because that was the priority at the time. But, so I don't think this defensive solidity is ever going to go. And what I would like to see now is him try and develop some ways, varied ways of scoring goals.
The thing is, these things can be developed simultaneously. I don't understand how you take 6 months to develop the defense and then 6 months to develop the attack. So, and that has developed the attack and the defense very quickly, actually. Like, we've been defensively solid ever since he really made that change. So I feel like he's had time to develop
the attack. Do you think the attack is more of a personnel issue, though, Dan?
I said profiles, but I just think maybe the way we apply it as well. Because I was looking at Brighton, I was looking at Leeds. These guys don't have the individual quality that we have in attack. Let's be serious. Like, even if we think Pepe is trash, if you think Willian is trash, we still have Saka, we still have Aubameyang. Like, those are like really, really good players.
But we don't use Aubameyang.
Exactly. So that's exactly my point. He's not maximizing the
good, I agree with that,
ability.
But say someone like Bielsa, for example, okay, it's not, I agree that, you know, as much as, you know, we complain about Pepe and Willian, Leeds won't have the quality that we have. But for me, it's not about quality, it's more about like profiles and, you know, how they work in relation to your system. And Bielsa's kind of worked with his team with his players for quite a few years until they got promoted. So they kind of know where to move and where to be. And I feel like it's more easier to coach a defence compared to an attack, because I feel like a lot of attack takes instinct rather than drilled instruction, if I'm being honest. So I knew that when it came to the defence, that'd be more of an easier job. But in terms of the attack, we've kind of been deteriorating since, let's say, 2017, maybe, on the attack. Like, you know, we're having less shots per game as the years go down. And that's something that won't happen overnight, really.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to what Nigerian Dan was saying about the comparison between Liverpool, Man City, and what we are now. You have to remember the tenure, the amount of time, right? So you've highlighted the money that's available for both those managers to spend. I'm talking about first 6 months. Those managers didn't spend any money, right? So Klopp came in December. He didn't spend any money. He had 6 months of playing his high-octane football the way he plays it. Whether it worked, they were conceding goals, but he didn't care. He said, this is how we play football at this club, right? You also mentioned the evolution of Liverpool, how they changed and how they use their fullbacks differently. And they even squeeze the pitch more now because they don't want their people to have to cover as much ground, right? So they have made some tweaks. Those are tweaks, right? The emphasis of their football is pressing. That's how they play football, right? So sure, they can't do high octane for 90 minutes a game. People pull up with hamstring injuries and stuff. But the emphasis of his football is exactly the same and has always been the same, right? It doesn't change. The same with Pep. He plays high and wide. He stretches the pitch. He does that regardless. He might play three at the back. He might do 4-3-3. He might take Sane out, put this guy in. But the emphasis of his football doesn't change. In my opinion, the emphasis of Arteta's football changed after about 7 games.
I agree.
100%. I've never seen a highly successful manager ever change emphasis like that and continue to be successful. I've never seen in my life.
I think the emphasis has stayed the same, personally. I think when he first came in, the thing that we noticed most, like, drastically was the fact that he made the defence more solid. He came in, immediately did that sort of 2-2-3-5 thing in attack, start attacking with the five channels. And you saw that against Leicester. He was just doing it in a different way, using different players in the channels. But I don't think the emphasis has changed. I think we probably misinterpreted what he was doing because of the way we were pressing high, this, that and the other. But throughout this whole period, we've been pressing high. Post lockdown, we scored goals pressing high with Nketiah. But I think his emphasis has always been on defensive shape and preventing.
Again, I disagree. Just because of what Arteta himself has said, they asked Arteta what his emphasis was, and he said he wants to dominate games, he wants to be progressive, he wants to play the game in the final third, and he wants to press. That's what he did for 7 games.
I don't think we did it for 7 games.
Well, maybe less, maybe 4, maybe I'm
I don't think we did it.
No, for sure. Well, we definitely did. It was we did it for half a game
against Chelsea.
Chelsea
United, Bournemouth was some. He attempted to do it in other games, was unsuccessful.
Bournemouth, we didn't dominate it.
No, I don't think we dominated any of the games. What I'm talking about is the attempt, the intent, right? Yeah. What the team was trying to do. Whether it's successful or not is a different thing. But they tried to do that.
In those games as well, though. Yeah, if you think about the second half of all of those games, it's exactly the same as what we're seeing.
Held off now.
Yeah.
What was different from, what I want to ask, what was different from that Chelsea first half to what we saw against Leicester?
Oh, I'd have to go back and watch that. I haven't watched it.
I don't see too many differences. We played quite high up. We were stable in transitions.
Sure, but then that Leicester game, we also all admitted that it was refreshing. It was refreshing. We even said it on this pod, right? That's what we, more in line with what we expect to see.
I wouldn't say 20 or so games.
We ain't seen this in a while, you know.
We've been calling for it.
We haven't seen the performance for a while, but I don't know if it's... We haven't seen the execution for a while.
And I think the main difference is Mesut Ozil is not in the team anymore, right?
Don't get Dan started.
I'm not. And the thing is, it's not even about him as an individual for me. It's not about him as an individual. It's about having someone operating in those positions. I think that's the main difference that you're seeing pre and post. I don't think he's changed his emphasis, but I don't think he's changed his style or his philosophy. I don't think that's changed at all.
I disagree with you.
I think the things that he wants to do have remained the same, but...
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. Fine.
But I feel like with the profile and the personnel, he's decided, right, we're not going to be pressing from the front all the time.
Mm.
Right? Because even... What game was it? I think the Man City game, we were very mediocre, yeah? And the Liverpool game as well. I think the Liverpool game probably is a better example of this. We're very mediocre in the first half. Second half, we tried to press them high again. So that is a tactic that he's had, but it wasn't very effective. And he mentioned it himself. When you try and press them high, they've got that 60-yard ping from Van Dijk to Salah to break your press. So
yeah, and so do we, by the way. He forgot to mention that. That was acting like Van Dijk is the only one that can spray past 60 yards.
Yeah. Mustafi fucking can't do it, can he?
Hey, listen, to be fair to Mustafi, he did it a couple times, but that before he got injured, he was spraying them diagonals. I don't like him. But he was doing it. You can't take that away from him. Yeah. He was doing it.
Mustafi's passing isn't that bad.
Oh, no, it's terrible, Dan.
No, it's not.
Do you know how many... Do you know... Is he no chipped balls, yeah? That he tries to do where you can see he's trying to put the backspin on it, never gets the backspin. It bounces and just spins off for a goal kick. The amount of times I've seen it. Karis, you do compilations, right?
Yeah.
Please, can you do a compilation of Mustafi's forward passes, please? Because I need to see.
Hey, listen, Mustafi's hit a couple, even hit one in the Leicester game. He hit one sweet dag to Saka in the Leicester game. He does it sometimes.
Yeah, well, one in eight, mate.
If you do a collab, even with Pepe, if you do a Pepe collab, you see him spinning guys left and right. But if you watch the games, it's a mad thing. That's what Mustafi's like.
Yeah, and exactly, and that's my overarching point. Anyway, guys, look, we've spoken quite a lot. I'm quite keen just to do some listeners' questions and wrap this up, right? So, I'm going to go through the listeners' questions from some of our patrons. So, Thierry 21, he asks, so we've spoken a little bit about how Partey was bypassed in the game, but he says, what do you guys think about the way Partey was bypassed in the game? And knowing now that Arteta maybe isn't it attack-wise, should we have signed Aouar instead? Man, I'm thinking, are we regretting the Partey signing already? Fuck it out, lads. So what do you guys think? Do you think the based on that game, based on the way Partey was bypassed in the game and the fact that we are struggling going forwards, should Aouar have been prioritised? What do you guys think? Dan, Niger and Dan, you're off mute, so I'll go to you first.
We needed both, man. We needed both. That was what I maintained throughout the summer, what I'm still maintaining now. I firmly capped the window at 6 out of 10, even when we got Partey, just because I knew it wasn't going to be enough. I didn't expect Ozil to be excluded from the team, but I expected him to not be effective, basically. So either way, I anticipated that we would be struggling like this because we were struggling like this at the tail end of last season against Spurs, against Aston Villa.
He didn't play them games, by the way, but continue.
I know he didn't, but...
I love how Dan knows every single game.
I know he didn't. There were
contribution. How many assists has Ozil got in the last 2 years, Dan?
Same as Ceballos, mate.
Well, not bad. One plays right wing back, one plays as 10.
Oh, God. So
we got here.
Yeah, we knew it was coming, innit? So I think we need to go back and invest on that player in January if Smith Rowe and Nelson are not it, because we can't do this for another 7-8 months, man. It's just not going to run.
Even if they are, it's just too much pressure on them anyway. So I feel like it's imperative that we get somebody that can operate in between the lines in January. Because if you put a gun to my head and said, would you get a Partey or a Wah? Even though I agree we needed both, I would have probably gone a Wah, because I feel like Ceballos could kind of like, obviously he's nowhere near as good as Partey, but he can kind of fulfill some of his qualities. And I feel like we needed somebody more in between the lines to combine, do give and goes. Because I feel like Saka's the only kind of player that can do that. And that wasn't really enough.
I think we still made the right choice with the Partey thing, because I think there are more solutions in the squad for an Awar than there are for a Partey. We lacked so much athleticism in midfield that I couldn't bear another season of us going Xhaka and Ceballos. Like, it'd be too much, man. So I think we've got. So I'm not saying they are the solution, but we've got solutions in the team that can be kind of, you know, quick, short-term fixes, you know, and maybe can do half jobs. And I think Saka can have a big future doing that kind of Awar type role. And I think we need to capitalize on it. I think we need to stop messing about with Willian out wide. I think we should probably just play him centrally. He's another kind of short-term fix. Obviously, not going to be as good, but I think we probably see Willian's best stuff playing centrally. I think we probably made the right call, but obviously I'm not going to disagree and say we don't need both. Of course we needed both. So
do you know what? For me, it depends on, I'm going to give another politician's answer here, but it depends on how Arteta intends to use Partey. Because if he uses Partey,
who's the president of Nigeria?
If don't worry about it. If
Bahari is it? Bahari, right? That's what we're calling you from now.
My guy. But if he intends to use Partey the way we've been seeing him, well, we've seen him use him over the last game in terms of like a defensive, the octopus in quotes style defensive midfielder, then we weren't conceding many goals defensively before he came, right? So if that's all you're going to use him for, then you might have been better off going with our. If he uses the type of Partey that we know and we've seen at Atletico and uses his qualities to the maximum, then I think we made the right choice. So it just depends on Arteta's
how he's utilized. It's hard to see. It's hard to look at the moment, isn't it? We've had one game. No, but he's played two games, right? Partey's played two games, but he was a lot more expressive in. I didn't feel like we missed him out in the game, in the Europa League game. I felt like we played through him.
Zaka didn't play.
Yeah. That's a good point, actually. That is a good point. All right. Second question. H. Suthers, he says, when fit again, how do you think Arteta will use Martinelli and how does that compare to how you guys want to see him being used? I'm a bit concerned about this simply because...
You won't use him.
I'm a bit worried.
He's warming the bench.
I'm a bit worried because I don't like how Arteta has utilised the youth already. And also... I know it's hard to tell whether it was injury based or not, but he's only started 3 league games under Arteta.
I think it was injured at Portsmouth, if I'm right, or in training. Can't remember either one of them.
But then he was on the bench for 4 games in the league before he got the injury.
From memory as well, he played him on the right hand side when he started as well. So
the Burnley game.
I don't want to be saying any more of that either. Man,
fucking hell. It could have been a niggle, though. He could have been bothering him, but not bad enough for him not to play. So I said, sorry, cool. If we need you, we've got you on the bench.
But it could just sounds been. Like I'm, a coincidence that you have a bad game against Burnley and then he's kind of like banished.
We have to see if Arteta's true to his word, because I remember some quotes where he was asked about our depth in the left wing and striker position, and they were asking, you know, are Aubameyang and Martinelli strikers or wingers? And they were like, you know, Aubameyang and Martinelli are both centre forwards, but they're having to fill out on the left because of, you know, lack of depth and stuff, and Saka filling
that,
out.
That guy's words in the mud, mate.
But then we'll have to see if he's true to his word and still says that Martinelli is a centre forward or not, because he also prefers to play on the left. So it's kind of like, we'll have to see, really.
Where would you like to see Martinelli?
Central for sure. I feel like he's got the depressing. I think he's possibly the most fittest player in the squad to do whatever pressing Arteta wants to do. He's got decent link-up play, and, you know, he's a great finisher, so I feel like we have to put him central.
Mm. Does anyone want to see him anywhere other than centrally? I actually don't mind him on the left. Same as Aubameyang, I don't actually mind Opa on the left, providing you're going to put him in positions where he can be useful and get into goal-scoring positions. I don't care, because Salah, you know, Salah can score 30 goals from the right. You know, Mane the same. Aubameyang's done it. Martinelli can do it. I don't really care. The position on the pitch that they start in doesn't really bother me too much, as long as they're getting into goal-scoring situations. And that's what's bothering me so much about Aubameyang, because it feels like at the moment, the only way he's going to get into goal-scoring positions is if he's up front.
Yeah, so, that's a big problem.
With Martinelli, I'm not too fussed about where he ends up long-term, because I think he's a shooter. And that is never going to change, you know, where regardless of where he's on the pitch. He just needs to be put in a position where he's going to get those chances to shoot. And whether it's left wing, right wing... up front.
See, have you, man, just seen what's been popped into the group? So apparently Arteta in his press conference has indicated that he's going to play Oba centre forward, that he's strongly considering it, and he's said something about Saliba as well, is also in there about Saliba's usage in the squad and stuff like
that boy's waking up, huh?
We're doing the Lord's work on this podcast.
Honestly,
Dan, let me just read out the quote. He says, all right, so he says, Arteta has indicated there's a very strong possibility that he will move Aubameyang centre forward. He adds that he feels really bad to have left Saliba out of the squad, particularly after Mari suffered a setback. Saliba is, however, in a much better place. Interesting. Very, very interesting quotes, because that alludes to the fact that Saliba obviously wasn't in a great place.
Okay, that's what he meant.
So maybe he was talking, you know, I mean, I still feel the whole leaving out of Europa League squad was just ridiculous.
It's management, yeah.
But, you know, let's see, man.
It's interesting as well, because with this Mari setback, does that mean he basically can't play any of the group matches, but he was registered?
So they registered Mari ahead of Saliba when Mari is injured up until January. Is this what happened?
Yeah, that's my understanding of this.
That's actually a madness. That's gross.
It's crazy.
Boy,
see now for that.
Get sacked.
See for that, you get fired. It's where I work. If you do that, you'll get fired.
Fire someone, bro. Yeah, but that is an interesting. That either seems like he's being pressured into doing it, yeah, or finally he's found a solution.
I think Wenger picked up the phone and told him, "You're my guy." The streets are talking right now, you know. you need to do something, my guy. And he's woken up.
What's so mad about that is that if he does it and it works, he will get none of the credit, because everyone will be like, "Nah, we told you 2 months ago." He's gonna get no credit whatsoever. So
he don't deserve credit, bruv. Why you playing Willock? Joe Willock is coming on to play false nine instead of Aubameyang. This is outrageous.
Some credit, man. Are you not forgetting what Emery was? Bro, Arsenal was in the mud, conceding 35 shots to Watford. Watford in the championship now, you know. Watford are in the championship. 30 plus shots. You stop that. You have to give him credit for it. You can't deny.
He didn't quite stop it. Last game of the season, Watford in the second half gave us some.
Last game of the season. Don't worry about that. We're on holiday, man.
Yeah, look. So Arturo and William, Prince Saliba's progress behind the scenes. He is in a much better place. He's feeling a lot more confident. His language is... what does it say? His language is improving, and he's starting to understand much better what we're doing physically. Things are progressively getting better and better. I mean, that's the kind of things we wanted to hear, isn't it, lads? So, yeah, well.
So can you lot stop crying in the group now?
No, because
1,000 messages a day. Relax, man.
I need to see us slap at least 3 goals past Dundalk tomorrow.
Fucking Dundalk.
Minimum 3. Minimum 3. Otherwise, I'm still not over it.
AKNMC says, can you get Meza on the pod since he's no longer involved in any of our active squads? Listen, I'm telling you, we're trying to utilize German Dan's contacts as much as we can. He's got scouts in all parts of Germany. trying to track this guy down to get him on the pod, innit? But yeah, it's we'll try a big man, but I'm not too sure about it. That guy, Daryl, he asked, why is Arteta so reluctant on giving some of the young G's chances when a few of them have the necessary profiles to help us attack? What do you think that is? The whole reluctance to use youngsters, because like you said, you guys have spoken about the Rapid Vienna game. You know, maybe he just wants to get points on the board. But even still, like, would we not have been able to get points on the board with some of the youngsters playing?
I think Arteta values experience, you know.
He does.
If you look at the players who we signed as well, I think he values experience quite a bit.
Values experience and then doesn't actually use it. Cedric, being, namely, being one of them.
Mary, Willian.
Willian hasn't... Has Willian started the last couple of games?
He's been injured.
Oh, yeah, he's been injured.
Obviously,
yeah.
We've been playing, I guess, so...
But you have to also understand... Sorry, Dan, go on.
Go on. I was just thinking about his experience. That was my only point, really.
Yeah, he does also use youngsters, but they're just established ones. Some people like Saka are in the team. He uses Nketiah. Those Saka are all youngsters.
But for the end of... when Saka signed his contract, we didn't see Saka.
Yeah, it was for a few games we didn't see him. You're right. Yeah,
no, it's longer than a few games, Leo.
A few is just an ambiguous term, though. What do you mean longer than a few?
It just means more than one.
Fucking hell, it just means more than one. What are you talking about? So, Saka, we didn't see him for a few games. But Nketiah's been in the team replacing.
Can you imagine being Leo's girlfriend, bruv? Never wrong. Never, ever, ever wrong. Are you?
Gabriel, what you... is 21,
he was only
22.
Talking to a few girls at the time, babe. But if you could be more than one.
Oh my God, you guys, see? Man.
So there's youngsters in the side. It's just not to the left against people like Rapid Vienna. Come on, man. Like,
Lewis, I hope you're taking notes for when your girl tries to get onto you, bro.
I'm telling you, when your girl tries kicking you in the neck, you can use some of this politician tongue, bro. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm going to edit that part out of the podcast.
Oh, dear.
Say no to domestic abuse, guys. All right. But yeah, going back to the youngsters. So you think it's just he values experience and... that he thinks he can get more out of it. Do you think the experienced players, maybe they listen to him more? Is that what it is? Because I felt like, you see that game, the one game that he did play the youngsters against Leicester this season, in the League Cup, sorry. That was the most entertaining game I've seen this season from us. And I know it was two weak teams against each other, but I didn't feel like that team played with the same rigidity and the same structure that he's been implementing into the Premier League games. And I wonder if that's something to do with it, that maybe these kids are a lot more like, you know, they've got a lot more free-balling attitude about it. I don't know. Is that maybe, could that be something?
Arteta's probably sick after the game.
He was like, yeah. He was all these kids livid after their game. I can just see it.
They would never play in the game.
Sasha says, would you be inclined to give Nelson a chance either on the wings or in a 10, seeing as Pepe and Willian are either useless or stupid, or both, I might add, Sasha? What are we saying? Nelson?
Nelson? Yeah. I'm not a fan.
No, me neither.
I would try it still. I think him and Saka linked up well in the Leicester game. I'd like to see that combination on the pitch again, them two playing together on that left-hand side. And I think it would be good to see them two playing and Aubameyang through the middle. It would encourage me to think that we're getting better attacking positions more often, because they actually play with each other and play 1-2s and run around. So I would like to see it. Even though I don't rate him as highly as some other people, I think he's definitely talented. Sometimes the application might have been missing, but he's definitely talented. And I think he deserves a chance from the way he played against Leicester. And he's not been given one since then.
I wouldn't say deserves a chance, but rather than like his profile is something that we could look at and something that could benefit the team. Yeah. Because I saw some stats that some Twitter account put up and they're preparing the whole Arsenal squad and looking at ball retention stats. And Nelson figured at the top of the stats for ball retention. And that includes all the players like Ozil and everybody else in the squad. So that tells you a lot about what he can kind of bring to the left wing or even the 10 position. So I feel like it's just something that Arteta can try and experiment with and see if that helps us to be more fluid on the attack. Because you saw how he combined with Saka against Leicester. It was good to see. So I just kind of want to see more of that and see where it takes us.
I think as well, it just adds a bit more competition, because this is one of the things that I hated under Wenger was that he had his favourites that would play, and when someone was performing badly, they would still guarantee to start the next match. So like there was times where people would just be on goal droughts, but they'll still start.
And what are you saying? Drop Aubameyang?
Not him, but maybe some of the other duds that we've got playing in the flanks. But I just feel like if you know last season, I think Lacazette benefited from a bit of competition from Nketiah because he was in some terrible, terrible, terrible form. He was dropped from the side and then I think he scored a few times as a substitute towards the end of the season last year. So I just feel like if Willian's playing badly, like just hook him for a match or two, you know, to give one of these youngsters a try. And I do feel like maybe they're just not good enough because for me, when Arteta first came in, he wasn't reluctant to throw Nelson in there to bench Pepe. I think Nelson started a few big games. Yeah, started the Chelsea game. I think he started Arteta's first game, started Emery's first league game.
Yeah, because everyone thought he was going to be like his Sterling project, and then now he's like nowhere to be seen.
Exactly. So I do feel like if they were good enough, as you see with Saka, they would be playing minutes. So I know Nelson's had some injury issues as well, so I don't know if that is a factor. But for me, I don't know, maybe it's just the quality is not quite there for him to be getting as many minutes as we would like.
I feel like Nelson really wants to make it though, because I saw some quotes today where Arteta was talking about Reece Nelson and it was saying that, you know, Arsenal wanted to loan him out, but he decided that no, he wants to stay, he wants to work for his place. And even Arteta himself said that, you know, he's working hard in training and he'll give him the chance when he sees it as fit. So what I'm hoping is that we don't see Nketiah left wing again and we just put Nelson in. And hopefully he proves that, you know, he is Arsenal quality and that he does deserve to play for us.
Yeah, I think tomorrow's a good opportunity for him. Hopefully he starts. And if he takes it and plays well, then I think he should. I'm all for meritocracy, man. I'm all for it. If you play well, you keep your shirt because no one is performing well at the moment. So no one really deserves to keep their shirt, you know. I got a question. Oh, Kyrie G, we've done your question already, but thanks for the question anyway. Aaron 3K, we'll finish on this question, guys. Aaron 3K, he asks, Karis, you might be good at this one, actually. Are there any realistic attacking options we can sign in January? Obviously, you mentioned the set piece merchant, Szoboszlai. I know you're probably not going to like that comparison, though, but I'm joking. He's not really a set piece merchant, but I think people overestimate his like his creativity.
I agree. I thought Awar's better fit.
You think Awar? But is there anyone else that we could be potentially looking at?
Maybe. I feel like Arsenal prioritised one of those two in January, but then if we're talking long term, I feel like we might need another forward that could possibly play out wide or down the middle. So I think of someone like Rafa Leao from Milan looks really good. Mm. Like he can play centrally, he can play off the wide areas. He's got power when he's driving the ball, skill. He's a very complete player and can play across the front line. So for me, that'd be my top target if we could get him.
Cool. Guys, what about you guys? Any realistic attacking options we can sign in January? I don't really consider Awar realistic because is the agent fee the just going to disappear or what? I mean, is his brother suddenly going to stop asking for that amount of money? Like, how's it going to work?
Arsenal have the money to pay it. They might just decide, you know what, fuck it. Let's just pay it. Like they could. Is that to them?
But it's Arsenal more than what Minarola would ask for, which is just crazy, honestly. So I don't think any top team would go and pay their agent fee just like that.
I think you can get an Odegaard. I think if you wanted him and you went to Madrid, you can get him. He's not playing.
He's injured, though, isn't he?
Oh, is he injured? Oh, okay, I don't know. I don't know, maybe. But I think you can get him. I think if you put the correct bid in, I think he's someone you'd be able to buy. Iga Taren, I heard mentioned a lot.
Would you not take a more experienced player on loan?
No, I'm not interested.
I don't know, like Isco, would you take him for 6 months?
Nah, I'm not interested.
I would, because I would, if it's for a loan for 6 months, I would take him. Like if you could guarantee me an Awar type in this next summer, yeah, I would take an Isco in Jan because he's going to improve us.
Listen, I was on Twitter saying, bring Ben Arfa, man. We need someone that can work between
the legs. Relax, my guy. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
At the moment in time, I just take any quality between your lines. Just to
is Ben Arfa even quality? Ben Arfa or Pepe?
It's wild, bro.
I don't know. The compilation I saw of Ben Arfa from the weekend, boy, Pepe was getting good, huh?
See, the thing with Ben Arfa, he'll do that one weekend, and next weekend he's sleeping in the game.
Yeah, we've already got too many players like that, man.
The thing is with someone like Isco, it's like, I know he's not really been playing that much for Real Madrid, and I look at someone like James Rodriguez, right, who people were saying is finished, etc. And then he's come into this league and he's literally, it's so easy.
Balled out of control, yeah.
I feel like someone like Isco, because of his actual quality, he would just lift us a little bit, and he would definitely can play that sort of connection role, even if his own like end product, he's not really there in terms of goal scoring. But I don't know.
I do agree with that. And I also think that the way the Premier League is, I think there's some old quotes from David Silva basically saying, when I came to this league, there's just so much space between the lines. And if you have a player that's very technically proficient and it's got top quality, Isco does have this top quality, just not really played much and not played well for Madrid, to be honest, and it's not really worked out for him. But I do think that quality don't really go away, which is why I also said Draxler, because I think there's space between the lines. If we have a good and coherent system and find these players consistently in those positions, then they can be good for us. And I wouldn't be opposed to taking someone alone for 6 months just because we've really starved the quality right now. But if I had 25 million to spend, I would try the Szoboszlai guy, or I would try Hamed Junior Traore from Sassuolo. I'm a really big fan of him. I think he's a player that pretty much does everything that we want an attacking midfielder to do: drive with the ball, pass, also gets into the goals every now and then. So very good player. He's got the PMP that you want. I think he's a very, 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 very talented player. I think I bang on about him a little bit too much in the group maybe, but this is the type of player that he'll go somewhere, play really well, and then go for a lot of money. I think he'll go somewhere from Sassuolo and go for really big money. And this is the time where we should be picking these type of talents up, and instead of overpaying later at a later date.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough. All right, guys, let's wrap it up there. It's been quite a long pod. Leo, Karis, thanks for coming on, guys. It was nice to have you on.
No worries.
Having me.
No problem at all. Dan's, I would thank you, but I'm not going to. well done for doing your jobs. Okay. Yeah, but guys, any interesting talking points, just feel free to add us on Touchy Gooners. Follow AFC_Karis. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, we're getting it right. It's good.
Yeah, we're getting it right. Leo, do you want people to follow you?
Nah, I'm cool, bro. I'm relaxing.
I thought Mamba's going to give his Instagram.
No, I'm cool. I never use Instagram like that, but yeah, I'm cool.
You sure?
Yeah.
Right, cool. But yeah, be sure to follow us on Touchy Gooners, and yeah, we'll be back sometime this week with a Patreon piece, and a normal podcast will be back next week as well. Take it easy, lads.
Ooh, to 2-2, and we've still got more than half an hour to go, and here's Ozil. Lacazette, Ozil! Yo!
This is a melody.
Baby, welcome to the party. I'm off the Myers and the lean, that's why I'm over retarded.
That's why I'm over retarded.
Baby, welcome to the party. I hit the boy up and then I go skating around it. Baby, welcome to the party. Pick some of that, give me lit. Gun on my head.
One in the head.
Send in the clip.
Baby.
Baby, don't trip. Just lower your tone.
Cause
you can get hit. Don't let the head in my system.
This holiday season, it's all about the bedroom. And Casper's Black Friday sale has up to 30% off everything you need to make your bedroom your happy place. Only Casper mattresses are made with 86 supportive gel pods to align your spine and eliminate aches and pains. And Casper bed frames are made from the highest quality materials. Give the gift of a better bedroom. Save up to 30% during Casper's Black Friday sale on now at Casper.com. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms for more details.